Mike, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. I appreciate it very much. Aren't you guys grateful that we have people who are gifted to lead us in song, in worship? Yeah, amen. Me too. It is great. Yes, give them a round. Yeah, just give them some thanks. Oh, it's good to be with you today. It's good to be with you today. Is it good to be here? You guys are the champs, man. You guys wrestle. You guys fought through daylight savings and are here. I mean, we had everything against us this morning. We had cold, wet rain, and you lose an hour. I mean, you guys, you know what that means? You guys are going to be blessed this morning. You guys are going to be blessed this morning. Amen. You are the saints of God. We are doing a sort of a little mini-series called Thrive, and today is part two of Thrive. How many of you believe that you were designed by God not to just survive, but to thrive? I want to see everybody's hand, because even if you don't believe, you see everybody else's hand, and just extend your faith and believe, I believe that God causes me to thrive, that I am designed, because I'm his created being, to thrive in him. Anything that has life is created to thrive. And we're going to look in Scripture this morning that backs that up, and we're going to build a case for it, and we're going to see that each and every one of us were designed to thrive. It's something that each of us long for, to thrive. And when we talk about this word thrive, there's more to that word that in Scripture that we see. A lot of synonyms are used for our flourishing and prospering. To thrive means to go beyond where you are. It means to expand. It means to proceed and to advance. It means to just go much, so much further than originality. You were created to thrive this morning. And my heart is filled with faith and hope to see every single person in here this morning thrive exceedingly in your life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is in your life. And the key, the secret to a life that thrives is a life that is yielded to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word reveals who you are. Your word reveals your purposes, your nature, your character. Your word reveals, Lord God, the secrets to life and the riches of who you are. And so, Lord, we just, in this moment, attend to what you want to do in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we give way in this moment. We literally are yielding to you in this moment. Lord, allow our minds to be yielded to you. Empower us to yield our hearts to you and just listen and just appropriate what it is that you want to do in our lives this morning. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to thrive. I'm going to thrive. My man, thank you for that enthusiasm. My man, dude, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to start this morning in Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, the first page of the Scripture. If you can't find it, man, I'm sorry, but you should be able to find it. It's right in the beginning there, okay? Genesis chapter 1, we have the beautiful account of Jesus, of Jesus created. Yes, Jesus was there. In him all things were created, through him, by him, and for him. And the purpose of the cross was to reconcile it all back to him. So Jesus was there on this day. But here on this account, we see that God is creating the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together are working towards the creation of the earth. And we know the creation story really well, but we're going to look at it a little bit deeper this morning to see what God is saying to us this morning. God starts off, and the first thing he does in his creation is he speaks his voice into the darkness, and into the darkness he speaks light. He speaks light into the darkness. The second thing he does is that there was an expanse where God would separate the waters, and he made an expanse of heaven and earth, and he created a division between heaven and earth. The next thing that he creates is that he has the waters of the earth to gather together and to form together so that earth can and landmass can just rise up from within the waters. And so you have this ball of earth, right? This round sphere of earth that has light and has water and has land mass. And that's all it's got right now. That's it. And then God speaks life onto this earth. God then at this moment speaks life onto earth. Here we go in verse 11 through 12. And then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants that yield seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to that word yield. Think about the word yield for a minute. We all drive cars and we all understand what it means to yield. When you find a yield sign, the entire purpose of a yielding is to give way. Right? You pause for a moment. I want you to remember that word pause. When you come to a yield sign, you pause and you give somebody else the right of way, don't you? You pause and you give somebody preference. If you come to a four-way stop and everyone gets there at the same time, you know how confusing and frustrating those moments are, right? When somebody's got to yield. We've all got to pause, and somebody's got to be the one to let other people go. That word yield is an essential for us as believers. And I want you to notice this word yield. And I want you to notice what's taking place here on the third day? It was the second day, wasn't it? No, this was the third day. On the third day, this is where God first creates life. He speaks light into darkness, and he speaks the earth into existence, the waters to separate. He divides the heavens and the earth, and the very next thing he creates has life. Vegetation, plants, fruit trees. The very next thing that God is speaking into existence is an organism that has life. It's alive. It's a being. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants that will yield seed, and fruits that will bear fruit, in which their seed, each according to its own kind. And it was so. I want you to see this morning. It's very important to see that when the very first thing that God gives life to was designed to yield. The very first thing that God creates and gives life to was designed to yield itself. The vegetation and the plants were created naturally to yield themselves. This beautiful plant right here, these two beautiful green plants and these beautiful flowers are from that service that we had on Friday for our dear sister who passed on and is now with the Lord. But I want you to recognize, I want you to look at this plant for a second, and I want you to see that the reason this thing is thriving, the reason why this plant is flourishing, is because once upon a time, another plant yielded itself so that it could thrive. So in the natural order of creation, God works in the very order of things that plants and vegetation, that life is designed to yield. Life is designed to yield. And so we see right here at the very entry point of life, the very introduction in Genesis chapter 1, life was designed to yield. The very outset of creation, God established life was designed to yield. And not only was it designed to yield, but I love the fact that the plants and the vegetation and the fruit trees, it's naturally ingrained in them to do this. It's just a part of their being. It's an involuntary thing that the plants and the vegetation do. He made it so that we would see that this plant life is constantly, continuously, without fail, yielding itself, being a yielded life. If you think about it for a second, God created every plant to give way. Every plant was designed, in a sense, to relinquish control of itself, to be only a plant by itself. They were made to yield. If the earth was, if God just spoke the vegetation into existence and said, earth, sprout forth vegetation, sprout forth plants and fruit trees, and not telling it and not establishing it in the natural order of creation for it to yield itself, then we would not have things that continue on. It wouldn't be a flourishing of life. Are you with me? There would not be a continuation. But instead, we see that God established that life organisms should thrive and flourish because they yield. And because they yield themselves, they thrive. Because vegetation and plants yield itself, they thrive. Because what's happening is that the life organism that is yielding itself ends up producing more life of its kind. That's what's taking place. As a vegetation, as plants are yielding itself, it is producing, ends up producing more of its kind. And that's what God does with a yielded life. And this is the important part that I want you to grab a hold of. That yielding continues the creation miracle. Yielding continues the creation miracle. That as an organism, a life organism that God has breathed into existence, as it is yielding itself continuously and constantly, it continues and expands the spoken word of God to flourish further. And you've got vegetation all over the earth that has flourished and thrived because God established in the beginning to have plant life, life designed to yield itself, to produce more life of its kind. Isn't that beautiful? It's so cool the way that God works. It's so cool. It really is. And so the very nature of yielding, as we see here in Genesis chapter 1, the very nature of yielding is this: to give way in order for life to produce more life of its kind. That's the very nature of yielding. It's to give way, to give way of yourself in order for life to produce more life of its kind. Let that sink in just for a moment. I'm going to say it one more time. The very nature of yielding is to give way in order for life to produce more life of its kind. Now, I want you to begin to think about that in terms of your life, your posture, your position before God as a child, as a son and a daughter of the King. I want you to think about that as your position as a saint of God's kingdom. Your position as ministers of reconciliation, representative, ambassadors of Christ. I want you to then absorb that truth of yielding into who you are as the people of God. You see, I believe that creation reveals God's way of doing things. I absolutely do. I believe that all of creation that surrounds us and the way that God orchestrated creation and how the earth functions and moves and things rotate around the sun, all of it is meaningful. All of it is purpose to really be revealing who God is, His purpose, His ways, and explaining His purposes in our lives. And that if we're really in tune with the nature around us, then we will understand to a greater degree what God's purpose is for our lives. I believe that He established creation for us to see how He works and how He does things. And this morning we see that a life that is yielded produces more of its kind. A life that is yielded produces more of its kind. And so I suggest to you this morning that the very same is true for every person that God has given life to. That every person that God has given life to on the face of the earth, who has life, was designed and purposed to be a yielded life. To be a yielded life. Now, whether people choose to accept that, accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and to yield their life is another story. But I believe the secret to thriving as a person of God, for who we are as the people of God here in this room, the secret to thriving as a person of God is yielding to Him and allowing the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit alive in us to live His life through you. So that by your yielded life, it will produce more life of the same kind. So that by your yielded life, it will thrive and it will flourish and it will expand and go far beyond just your own little world. It will have an impact in others' lives. It will enable other life to be produced. It will enable other lives to thrive. Are you following me? Okay. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 26. Now here's the context of Leviticus chapter 26. The people of Israel are at the foot of Mount Sinai. And The glory of the Lord has just filled the tabernacle. Right, God has just demonstrated his presence in a powerful way. And here in Leviticus, God begins to instruct his people. He's basically giving them instructions on how to live and thrive moving forward. Like the way I see Leviticus is not a bunch of do's and do's nots. I see Leviticus as the way for God. There's so much grace in Leviticus, number one, right? The fact that these people who are trying to, I mean, in the time being of the world, people were trying to appease God. How do we please our God? How do we appease our God? And here God is so gracious and showing his people, this is how you can please. There's so much grace in it. Anyway, that's a little rant. But this is the God's instructions to the persons of God. This is how you guys are going to thrive. This is how you will thrive as my people, how you will flourish as my people from this moment on. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 3, where the Lord says, if you follow my decrees, he goes, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send the seasonal rains, and the land will then yield its crops. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. Notice something here. The land will now yield its crops. Well, this was already meant to happen. Genesis 1 shows that the land was going to yield itself, wasn't it? I find that very interesting. And the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain, and you will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. Now, as I was reading this, I really sensed the Holy Spirit prompting me to look at this a little bit deeper and to take it a little bit further. And I really believe for this morning, for you and I, God is making a deeper connection with this text that goes far beyond just the surface of the context here. And I believe prophetically what the Lord wants to say to us this morning is this. And if you take anything else away, here it is. Just remember this one thing. This is what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us. If you yield to me, your life will thrive the way it was always designed to. It's as simple as that. If you yield to me, your life will thrive the way it was always supposed to, the way it was always designed to. Church, persons of God who are hearing this right now, saints of the living God, ministers of reconciliation, children of God, if your life is yielded to God, it will thrive in the way it was always designed to. If you are willingly giving way to God in your life and allowing the Holy Spirit to work the life of Christ in you, then your life will thrive the way it was always designed to. And each of us has to take a step back and ask, well, what does that look like in my own life? How would that look in my own life? So most of you know that I'm at a season in my life where I'm coaching my children's softball and baseball teams, and I love it. It is just, for me, it's the most pure ministry that I could possibly be involved in. And so I've really given myself to learning more about coaching because it's so much different than playing the game. And so I've come across this revolutionary theory in coaching baseball that is right now in the minor leagues. It's all throughout the minor leagues and the major leagues. So this is what all of the pros are doing right now, and it's based on the Berenstain Principle. All right, now, this is the Berenstain Principle is from Nikolai Berenstain, who was a scientist who studied momentum. He studied how the body moves and how to optimize productivity, finding the perfect way for the body to move. Well, so the idea here in the Berenstain Principle is to almost completely eliminate the internal cues that you would teach someone or coach someone how to play the game. Now, has anybody ever played a sport growing up? How many people have ever played a sport? Right. Okay, so when you were playing that sport, you had a coach, and that coach was telling you, this is how to do something, correct? Right? Make sure you keep your eyes on the ball. Make sure your hands are back. Make sure your elbow's up. Make sure your chin stays still. Make sure, right? There's all these internal cues that when you're going up to the plate, you're thinking about making sure you're doing. Do this. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Do this. Do this. And it's just like maddening, all the things that are going on. Well, the theory in the Bernstein principle is this, that the body will naturally thrive in its intended purpose as it yields itself. And this is a totally revolutionary thing. And I was in a whole room full of coaches who were way older than me. And man, it did not go over well. Like, what are you talking about? So the idea is to not so much as coach and tell them what to do and instruct and tell you, do this. But to let their bodies yield as they're developing and growing. And it's up to the job of the coach to create the environment around the player to see his body thrive in its intended purpose. So, for example, here's a minor example right here. All right, there's so much science to being able to run faster and run harder. There's so much science to it. Like you could be taught how to by a coach and taught how to run, and this is what you got to do with your body. This is all the things you need to do in order to run faster. But this Bernstein principle says, let your body yield to the conditions around it, and the coach creates the conditions around it. You follow me? The coach is there to create the drills and the experiments and the conditions around it. So instead of saying, hey, guys, I want you to do this, make sure your hands are rubbing across your body, is this, try to least amount of friction as possible. There's so much science to running. Or you can cause the player to have to drag this massive heavy tire and train your body as it yields to the drill. It will naturally learn to thrive in its intended purpose, to run faster, to run harder. It's an amazing thing. But this is, so in other words, the body is to yield to the natural proclivities of itself, and it will produce the desired income. So like, just another example, my teaching my son how to hit, and I can give him 100 internal cues. He's like, do this, make sure you're looking at this, make sure you know, he's 6 years old, right? He's just trying to make contact with the ball. And I've learned that. And this Bernstein principle says, let that happen. The coach then designs what to do and to form the drill that makes them do what you want them to get to be done instead of giving them a bunch of internal cues. So you just basically say, dude, so every time I've given him these internal cues, he barely makes contact with the ball because he's thinking so much of this thing. Then when we just go outside and say, dude, just smash that ball and try to get it in the outfield, boom! It's like, it's just, your body will naturally try to develop itself, and the coach is there to move the tee or whatever, just to create the conditions. Are you following me? The coach's job is to create the drills and the experience and to create the conditions to get the desired results as the athlete yields himself. The body will thrive in what it's trying to do naturally as it yields to the conditions placed around them by the coach. I want to say that again. The body will thrive in what it's trying to do naturally as it yields to the conditions placed around him by the coach. Amen. Amen. My point being is this, that if we walk out our daily lives naturally, the way that God designed life to be lived, which is fully yielded to him, you will flourish, church. And you will thrive the way you were always designed. I believe it with everything inside. I believe this. So how do we do that? Simply with practice. I mean, let's just be honest. It comes with practice. Every day of your life is filled with moments and opportunities to yield to God. Full of it. The coach has got drills and experiments all around you. Yield to them. Yield to what God is doing in those moments. These are opportunities, every single one of us, your day is filled with opportunities to pause, right, and give way to what God wants you to do, to give way to the way that God wants you to live your life, to allow the life of Christ to work through you. You can look at them as daily experiments every single day. Your day is filled with daily training exercises, daily drills, daily experiments, and each experiment is an opportunity to yield. Every experiment and opportunity is an opportunity to yield, knowing that when your life is yielded as it was designed to from Genesis, it will thrive and flourish. That's good news. That is good news. I dare you to try yielding your finances to the Lord and see if your financial situation does not die. I dare you to try to yield your mouth to the Lord. And before you speak, you actually pause. Think before you speak, right? Pause. God, are these words that are going to come out of my mouth life-giving? Are they going to be encouraging? Or are they going to be death? I dare you to try yielding in love to your spouse, preferring their husband or your wife in love, and say, you know what? I'm going to love you despite how much I think I'm right. I'm going to yield in love, not for so I can just be right, because that's what our natural proclivity is, isn't it? I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But to yield because that's what God has designed us to do. And when we yield, it produces life. I dare you to start yielding in love and prefer your husband or wife in love. See if your marriage does not begin to bear fruit. Try yielding yourself in service of God. Actually, use your body, use your energy to serve His church, to serve the kingdom of God, and see if you don't experience the abundant riches of God's goodness in your life. I dare you. I dare you to try yielding your suffering and your affliction to the Lord, and see if from that you don't not just get completely, your entire nature and character is not more clear the image of Christ when you get out of it. I dare you to yield your suffering and your affliction. I dare you to yield any circumstance that you came in these doors with to the Lord and see if God does not work it out the way He designed it to work out in the timing that He worked out, and that frees you from the burden of pressure and anxiety. It is the way that it was designed to be. Your life was designed to be yielded to God in every facet. I dare you to yield your emotions to the Lord. I dare you to yield your thoughts to the Lord. I dare you to yield your decisions to the Lord. Whatever big decision you got going on right now, I dare you to yield it to Him. When I gave my heart to the Lord in college, and I was just going around and not knowing what I was going to do with the rest of my life, all I knew is that I surrendered my life to God, and I said, God, here's my life. Take me and use me, and I'm going to trust you with every step. I enrolled into Temple, right? And I said, God, I don't know what occupation you want from me. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just going to trust you, God. I'm just going to yield to you. And I ended up enrolling in strategic and organizational leadership. I was like, I appreciate organization and I appreciate leadership. I'm just going to go down that direction. Then little did I know that I use every ounce of that in my life as a pastor. Every ounce of it. I use every ounce of it. And that was just me yielding to God and saying, God, I don't know what decision to make here. I'm going to take a step forward and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. A life yielded to the Lord will thrive the way it was always designed to. If you remember anything else today, I want you to walk away with that. That a life yielded to the Lord will thrive the way that God designed it to from Genesis. Mike, could you come and join me? And the worship team, guys, if you could just hustle up here and just join me on stage, please. Because we're going to respond to this message. And if you guys can just begin to play behind me, thank you. But as we begin to wrap this up, I want to get real with you for just a moment, okay? Because I understand the reality of the situation because we are humanity, right? We are persons. The greatest challenge to this becoming a reality in all of our lives is fought in the battle of the will. Would you agree? The greatest challenge that thriving as the persons of God who are completely and fully yielded to Him is fought in the realm of the battle of the will. That place where you possess the ability to make decisions, the place where you possess the ability to choose for yourself, but it's also the place your will was also given to you in order to be able to exercise your strength. This is an instrument that God gives us, right? He did not make us autonomous living organisms like these things that naturally, involuntarily yield their seeds and more plants are flourishing. No, he gives us a will. So that we're not just robots following him. He gives us a will, which is this beautiful instrument that God has placed within inside of you to be able to choose and make decisions. But he's asking for that will to be yielded to him. He's asking this morning for your will to be yielded to him. But as we're talking about this challenge, the problem is that along with the rest of our entire makeup as persons, our will was subjected to the fall of mankind, right? Fallen, broken people living in a fallen, broken world. And our wills were just as impacted. The very instrument that God gave us to yield, the very instrument that God enabled us to yield with was tainted, it was blemished, it was distorted because sin entered this world. And so now our will, at times, it feels like it sits under the weight of our selfish and egocentric desires, where we insist that life is seen through our own eyes and we want to see life lived the way we want to live and the way that we think it should be lived. And so our will sometimes feels like it's just trapped under the weight of our sin, under the weight of our selfishness. St. Augustine, who was an early Christian theologian, he captures this really well, the battle of the will. In the 3rd century, he says this: "The enemy held my will and made a chain out of it and bound me with it. And from a perverse will came lust. And slavery to lust became then a habit. And a habit, being constantly yielded to, became a necessity." Powerful, isn't it? We can all relate to that right there. "From a perverse will came lust. The slavery to lust then became a habit. And the habit, being constantly yielded to, became something that I needed, a necessity." Well, the objective this morning is to break out of this. That's why we're here in this moment. This is a holy moment. I absolutely believe it. This is a holy moment between you and God, as the people of God in 2019, calling each and every one of us to yield to him, to break free from this self-absorbed, self-obsessed, self-seeking way of living and begin to say, "God, here is my life fully yielded to you so that I can begin to see the world the way you see it, that I can begin to see my life the way you see it, that I can begin to thrive in the way that you designed me to thrive." And the only way that's possible is when our will is yielded to his will. It's only then that we're able to have our judgments and our motivations and our decisions and our perspectives. Then those things actually begin to work for us. When we're yielded to the will of God, our decisions and our judgments and our motivations then begin to work and help us thrive in the way that we were created. A life yielded to God will thrive the way it was always designed to. And here's the bottom line. I'm going back to it. And this is where we'll finish with this. The amazing product of a life that is yielded to God goes back to Genesis 1. And that is, a life that is yielded to God is a life that will produce more life. Because the natural effect of a yielded life will naturally look outside of itself, give way. It will give way so that others can flourish. You with me? That's the bottom line. That's the result. That's the calling as a church, to be a yielded life before God so that through your yielded life, others can thrive and flourish. That's what you're calling. Stand with me, please. We're going to take this moment. be present with God. This is a holy moment. We're going to respond to this, right? That's what we're going to do right now. We've been presented with this, and we're going to respond to it. So just get in a moment for quiet space with the Lord right here. Just whether it's your head bowed or eyes closed, just be present with God in your space right now. Just free from distraction. Free from distracted place right now. Recognize this is a holy moment. The presence of God is in this place. His word has been spoken. He said to each and every one of you that if your life is yielded to Him, then your life will thrive the way it was designed to. And so as you've been listening to the Lord say that, just take this moment to hear Him once again for yourself individually. Take a moment and ask, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to yield to you today? And while the entire message was a life that is yielded, an entirety that is yielded, I know that sometimes it's helpful to start in one place, that God sometimes will put his finger on a certain area of your life to yield. Every single one of you ask God, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to yield to? Are you asking me to yield my mouth, to pause before I think, before I speak, to think before I speak? Are you, Lord, are you asking me to yield myself in love to my husband, to my wife? Are you asking me to yield my finances, to trust you, to give way, to go about the way that you see things? Lord, is it that you want me to yield into my service to you, to use my energy to serve your church and kingdom? Lord, is it that you want me to surrender the suffering that I'm facing, this affliction or this circumstance, Lord, that I'm following or I'm find myself in? Lord, is it this decision that stands before me? Is that what you want me to yield, God?